Hey, Forever Family. My name is Casey. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. Hi. My addictions were meth and alcohol. A background of my life, I am the oldest daughter of 10 kids. My parents lived through the Vietnam War in late 1970s in Laos, and later migrated to a refugee camp in Thailand where the U.S. soldiers were based. My parents often told the horrors of war about having to flee their homes and seeing the death of friends and family, and eventually the pain of leaving behind those that survived as they escaped to the United States. Upon arriving in the United States, August 1980, my parents reunited with other family members in Merced, California. Parents attended a Lutheran church with family members. My oldest brother was born in 1984, and I came along a year later. Eventually, I would have five brothers and the only sister. My earliest memory of this time are happy ones, although I always wanted more sisters. I was the daddy's girl. My dad would chaperone during field trips and volunteer during school events. My dad is my number one. My mom, on the other hand, had always favored the boys. My dad was athletic, outgoing, and a good-looking man. He was also a womanizer and was absent most of our lives. Dad went out of the country back to Laos and Thailand. Out of sight, out of mind, we knew in our hearts our dad was always cheating. My mom is a super mom for always staying because she knew he would always come back. Since my dad was often absent, I knew I have a heavenly father. Crying most of the time to my heavenly father, asking all the why questions. The common one is, why my mom don't love me like she loves the boys? Why was I stuck in this family? My siblings and I spent a lot of our time at my uncle and aunt's when dad is gone. On March 19, 1989, we were walking over to their house. It was my mom, four of us kids, and a cousin's wife. My brother and I held hands as we ran across the street and up the doorstep to my uncle's house, laughing our butts off while trying to catch our breaths as we knocked on his front door. My uncle finally opened the door, and just before stepping inside, we heard a loud crash behind us and then the sound of tires screeching off. We heard our baby brother start to cry, and my mother was crying and yelling out. Our uncle pushed us into the house, and my brother and I just knew and comforted each other, praying to God and holding on to hope and faith. My uncle brought in my baby brother with just scratches, but my cousin's wife and my little sister Amy, who was only three, lost their lives. My mom survived, but was in critical condition and in a coma. My dad was eventually located and was told of the tragedy. We stayed with my uncle and aunt for several months while our mother recovered. Our dad would pick us up and take us to the hospital to visit mom. Sometimes we would get to climb into her hospital bed and lay with her. When she eventually came home, she was not the same mom as she had been introduced to opium while in the hospital and became addicted. With an absentee dad and a drug-addicted mom, I became the mom to my brothers. I was only 7 years old. I never had much of a childhood after the incident. The traumas my siblings and I went through were abuse, police raids, and both parents arrested due to their addiction and opium use. Often there was no food, no hot water, no electricity. I barely had shoes and was barefoot most of the time. At age nine, I had an encounter with Jesus when I drowned. One hot summer day, my cousin and I went to Applegate Park and went out on Bear Creek in an inflatable boat. The boat flipped over and down I went. I sunk to the bottom, and the only thing I could think of was, I'm going to die, and my parents have no idea where I am. Jesus appeared and said, launch yourself back up when you touch the bottom and kick your feet. I must have done that three times, each time gasping for air as I broke the surface before sinking again. I was finally able to pull out. After that, I taught myself how to swim and got over that fear. Looking for a fresh start, my dad decided to relocate us to the Midwest in Minnesota for a better life and a better future. My parents got clean and worked to provide for us. It was good while it lasted. I was 13 at the time and started hanging with the wrong crowd. I rarely went home and was basically a runaway. I started ditching school and got into school fights when I did go, and so was put on probation. During high school, I spent a lot of my time in JDC, jail. After getting out, I would run away, get caught, and repeat the cycle. My parents couldn't deal with me at home, so a lot of the time, my parents would tell the jail or my parole officer to keep me. I was placed in group homes, but would run away and became homeless. I ran the streets and hung out with thugs and other gang-related people. The street life was filled with gang violence and death of young lives. I became fearless, a lost soul in a group of friends who were always running. Being the tomboy I always managed to protect myself from predators and gang rapes. Looking back now, I realized God was protecting me while I was rejecting him. After my last arrest, my parents had finally had enough and signed me over to my parole officer in the state of Minnesota. That was the first time in a long time my dad told me he loved me. While I was in handcuffs, crying my eyes out as I was about to do 11 months in a group home 4 hours away from the Twin Cities. I was placed in a home with Christian parents in a small town on an Indian reservation. There were girls in the home, finally, some sisters. And we all went to the same school. We held each other accountable, went to church, and that's when I got saved. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I was granted a home visit for a week. However, I came home to find that my parents' addictions had gotten worse. I fell out of place. I was happy back at the group home and finished my 11 months and was released home. At age 16, I was in a controlling, abusive relationship with a man I later had a son with. He was a violent alcoholic, crack, and meth addict. I was in a very dark place in my life. I let this person control me, and I feared him. My happy place was school. I was 8 months pregnant and graduated in 2003. No one was there but my classmates and my teachers. My sister-in-law was there for the birth of my son. I went right back to darkness and sadness. Even though there was chaos in my life, I somehow found peace, joy, and happiness because of my son. But that didn't last long. My son was 3 months old when I started using meth and selling for my son's dad. He lived at the casino part-time. While I lived at home in fear and knew his every move, ready to escape his attacks. His parents got tired of protecting me. They didn't want me dead in their home. I got sick of the beatings and fought back for my own life. I knew this person could take my life, so I secretly packed a bag with a baby bottle, a diaper, and important documents. His mom finally asked me to leave, so my son and I left with the clothes on our back and what I had in that bag. We hid at some family members and then got on a Greyhound bus and were on the road to Portland, Oregon. We were now back with my family, a new city, a new beginning, and a new job. I was content with my single life and being a single mom. I forgave and forgot in order to heal through the trauma, but still continued to drink and party until my son was 5 years old. It was during this time that I also aborted a pregnancy. I did eventually stop the partying and got sober, and during this time, I met someone and started a long-distance relationship. We eventually moved in together after 3 years, but that lasted a month. He was a type 1 diabetic and insulin dependent and is in heaven, now in heaven. I took time off from work and went right back to alcohol and found meth to cope with the loss. Met my daughter's dad and he never left, so I got stuck in a situationship. I didn't want the heartache of seeing my kids without a father, so I stuck to the misery and fell back into a dark place. He was an alcoholic, so I quit drinking to save the toxicity. I was the only provider, so I started to use behind his back. We had it all, lost it all. Homelessness didn't change the circumstances. Eventually, the level of respect for each other was gone. I went back home and let him stay with our daughter. I got tired of living with no purpose, no dreams, no goals, no job, fighting for a welfare check every month. Meanwhile, he had no stress, no worries, and watched me suffer through it all with no remorse. The resentment and bitterness and sharing the same air with him was eating me alive. That situationship ended. A functioning addict, I was dependent on meth, but still held a job and paid my bills. I was very content with my life the way it was. I was alone, isolated from my family and the outside world. The friendships that I did have revolved around using together and betraying each other over drugs. I didn't trust anyone and had a heart of stone. The beginning of my journey to recovery truly was God working through my brother. We had a deep emotional conversation about me getting sober. Then COVID happened and the whole household was sick. My first attempt at quitting on my own didn't go so well. I was seeing and hearing things that were not there. I act like a fool at work and was put on medical leave after the return from COVID leave. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." When I finally returned to work, my position changed, but I was sober and learning how to adjust. I knew I couldn't survive staying sober in my own power. I knew I needed recovery. I shared my addiction with a coworker. Little did I know he was a godly man and that God was working through him. As the days went by, I was hanging by a thread in my recovery. One day he mentioned his church and about a recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. He had attended Celebrate Recovery and found it worked for him. Due to the illness of his wife during his step study, he had to pause and care for his wife, who is now in heaven. By the way, I have permission from this person to include him in my story. So I went to his church on a Sunday, attended the service, and got information on CR. Then, still hanging by a thread, had to wait for Wednesday to come. He met me here and stayed with me during large group. I was introduced to a few brothers I later on connected with. I didn't know the principles or the Beatitudes. The worship team is amazing. I went to the addiction small group and shared. I took my blue surrender chip and also a red 30-day chip. From then on, I saw hope in recovery. Job 33:28-30. God has delivered me from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light of life. God does all these things to a person twice, even three times, to turn them back from the pit, that the light of life may shine on them. I knew I was in the right place. Every Wednesday, I kept coming back. I knew I needed a sponsor and accountability partners. My sisterhood at CR are all my accountability sisters. I later on got plugged in with a very compassionate, loving sponsor whom God had been leading me to since day one. I became a CR junkie and went all over. I started CR at Rolling Hills, served at Sunnyside NAS, and now at my home church, City Park. Several of my CR sisters at Rolling Hills were joining a step study. I didn't even give it a second thought and just joined on a short notice. During the step study, I grew even closer to the sisters who walked this journey with me. I will never again complain to God about not having sisters growing up because he has blessed me with plenty of them today. The steps and principles that I've applied to my recovery and everyday life are: principle one, I realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing and my life is unmanageable. Step one, I admit I was powerless over my addictions and compulsive behaviors and my life had become unmanageable. Today, I am a blood-bought, totally purchased, absolutely forgiven child of the living God, finding victory over meth, alcohol, and voices in my head. Jesus says, when you know the truth, thank you. Jesus says, when you know the truth will set you free. I've seen God do the impossible in my life. I've seen mountains move in my life. Because today, God is in control of my life. Today, I wait on God because his timing is perfect all the time. Our Heavenly Father is our vindicator. He fights our battles. The old me has been crucified on the cross, and I am set free. Philippians 4:4-8, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. To the newcomers, I encourage you to ask for accountability. Get a sponsor. Surround yourself with the right people. Attend small group and share. We were meant to help one another. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Sign up for the next step study. Don't think about it, just do it. And start the healing process through God. Ask God to fill that empty hole in your heart. John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Attending Celebrate Recovery and working the 12 steps worked for me, and it will work for you. Today, I serve in leadership here at CR, but more importantly, I serve Jesus Christ by being his hands and feet to others who are lost like I was. I have been saved by grace through faith. This really spoke out to me about having faith. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it may be so, simply because God said so. Thank you for letting me share my story.